that's you're just into the disease area. And all of a sudden, I cannot see out of the way. Okay, today's daf is Daf Kuf. We've gotten up to the middle of Amud Beis yesterday. And I think we were right at Boy Reb Yochanan. So our question yesterday that we had left off with was the relationship of the wall around the mechitza to the mechitza which creates. We have a wall which itself would have been a karmel, and it's ultimately it's used as part of a Rishut HaRabim. It came out with the Kal Vachomer that im la'atzmo, im la'achirim la'atzmo mechitza, so then it should certainly be la'atzmo lo kol shekein, and we view it as being part of a single unit of Rishus, that we look at it as if it's an amud. Now we have another interesting variation on the idea of the relationship between that which makes the Rishus, which is part of the space of the Rishus, as opposed to part of the mechitz of the Rishus. It's almost a mirror image of this question. What happens here is that at the same moment that the Rishus is created, it's created through removing something from it. Very simple. You have a bor, and the bor is only tishat vafu. Now you take out a piece which was on the bottom of the bor, and in taking it out, it now becomes asarat vafu. So did you take out something from Rishus of asarat vafu and bring it into Rishus HaRabim? Or do we say that the time that you were over it, we have to look at that as being not a Rishut HaRabim, it's only tishat vafu? So let's see that insight. Boy Rabbi Yochanan, bor tisha, v'yakar mimena chulya, you take out a layer of the bottom of the bor, v'yishlimala asaran, at that point, it became ten tefachim. So then you take it out into the Rishut HaRabim. What's the difference? Do we say akirat chefetz v'asiyat mechitza v'hadei adadi ka'atu u'mechayev or lo mechayev? Should we say that at the moment that he takes out the skulia, when he puts it into Rishut HaRabim, he essentially was removing it from a Rishut HaYachid, despite the fact that before the moment that he was okered, it wasn't a Rishut HaYachid yet, but it became simultaneously with his hotza'ah a Rishut HaYachid? Or do we say that you have to define the Rishut first and then take something from that Rishut in order to be chayav on hotza'ah? Ve'imtim tzilomah. Now let's assume for a moment that you answer me by saying that kivan de lo having mechitza asrami kara lo mechayev, that since at the moment that you were okeret, there wasn't yet a mechitza there. This is an interesting way of looking at it, and it's very important because we take this for granted throughout the sugya. The problem isn't that we don't have enough space. The problem is we don't have a mechitza. Because a mechitza is only so-called when it defines a particular space. If the mechitza can't define the space, it's not a mechitza. So when we have a mechitza that's nine tefachim, so to speak, because the bor is only nine, that's not a mechitza. When we now have a bor of ten tefachim, we now have a mechitza of ten tefachim. That's the point. So that in having a space surrounded by mechitza, we can look at it as not having had a mechitza meikara.
Is the entire bottom of the bor dug out? Because there's only this little section.
That would depend whether it's betoch shalosh or so, and that's a sugya that we actually had earlier about Abayit. Remember when he dug out the middle of the house, compared it to the other sukkah. The difference is there about not having to. Do you recall?
Yeah.
So you were whole cake in the middle of it. That's the circuit way back in the first place.
You're saying the mechitza is the wall of the bor?
The bor.
No,
the wall of the bor itself. So in this case, you let us assume for a moment, and I'll accept from you, that because at the time that you did the akira, there was no mechitza, you therefore not mechai. How about the other way around? How about if the bor did have a mechitza? You pick up a chulia outside of the bor in the Rishut HaRabim, and you put it down inside the bor. But in putting it down inside the bor, you no longer have a mechitza. How about then? There you can't tell me what about this. Had never yet been defined as a Rishut HaYachid. Here it had been defined as a Rishut HaYachid. The question is that since at the moment of Hanachah it will no longer be a Rishut HaYachid, having lost its Mechitzot, so perhaps I didn't take something and put it in a Rishut HaYachid. Because by definition, the insertion makes it a non-Rishut HaYachid. So Mahu, Hanachat Chefetz V'siluk Mechitzah B'Hadika Hadarika Atu Mechayev. Although, does a situation in which a chefetz and the siluk mechitza, the hanocha, the siluk mechitza, is simultaneous, can that still be mechayev you? Now, the truth is, there's in the various girsaot, there's different girsaot in the different shasim. Some have the yud that we have. The Venetia shas does not have the yud. And the question, and if you don't have yud, it's an entirely different way of looking at it.
The yud in what word?
Michayev. Is it Michayev or Michayev? Michayev means a person is mitchayev. In the Mishnah in Hebrew, yud is the equivalent of the reflexive tav. So mitchayev, like mitameh, instead of mitameh, you know, right? So Michayev would mean that the person would nonetheless be chayev because of the fact that there was a mechitza there. Or the michayev would mean, and that's the reason that we are mechayev here, not nonetheless we are mechayev here. Which could have differences in terms of how to understand the rationale of what we're saying. Olo mechayev. Well, tishrefle midi day, I don't understand. Don't we have another maimer of Rabbi Yochanan that shows us what the answer is? It's not. We have the famous case we've had before, and we're going to have yet again, the Mishnah that's coming up, about Hazorek Arba Amot Bekotel. If you throw something for Amot and Rishut HaRabim, and this thing is actually turns out to be something gooey, it sticks, like a Veil of Shemina, and it lands on a wall, and it lands lamala mi asarat fachim, and therefore it's now suspended above the area in which the Rishut HaRabim extends. The Rishut HaRabim only goes up to a maximum of 10 tefachim, and above that it's called makom ptur. So it's as if it landed in the air. If something lands in the air, it's not chayav. On the other hand, vazareg ba'aretz arba amot chayav. We asked on that Mishnah, vavinamba, vaholonach, how could it be chayav if it landed, if it lamantim yasara, it never was munach on anything? Because it's at the it would just roll down. How can you say that it was nach, or that it was nach above? The Omer of Yochid Medvela Shmena Shanino, we're talking about something gooey. Now, the question is, something gooey that travels from the beginning of Arba Amot to the end of Arba Amot just turn the Arba Amot into less than Arba Amot. Because there it is, stuck on the wall, so now you don't have Arba Amot anymore. There it is, Arba Amot, remember the Kol Arba Amot Rishut HaRabim is the equivalent of a separate Rishut. Now you're being mavato that distance because of a sticky Dveila. Ah, come on, man, it's not the same, right? I'm not mavato, I mean, you're not going to leave the gooey Dveila on the permanently implanted there on that wall, so that it should be mevatel of Arba Amos. That's landing on the wall, which remains the wall, which is the equivalent to landing on the bottom of the bore. If I threw a wet vela into a bore in the bottom, I never would have thought that that's mevatel the bore. But also mevatel, the point over here is that it's a chulia. Chulia actually remains in the bottom of the bore. Now, it changes the depth of the bore. So that's my question. Now that stands, that question. Boy, Rava, Rava's have an equivalent question. Yes? You never heard the Simon Renault, me and Julia down at the sun. Julia just means a layer, actually. It means a layer.
Layer.
Yeah. In other words, it becomes the equivalent of a layer in the book. So, I mean, if let's say it's bricks, then it would mean a layer of bricks. Whatever it is, it's just the bottom layer of the book. I have a similar case as Rava, where you take a board And this board you throw onto some pegs that are standing up in Rosh HaTorah. Now, obviously, the pegs in Rosh HaTorah don't have particularly a din of mechitzot to create Rosh HaTorah. The moment that I throw the board on top of it, it now becomes a Rosh HaTorah, because Smachok is Rishonim, actually, why. Some learn because we view the edges of the board as satisfying the halakhic requirements of Pitikra Yored V'Soter, which is that the edge of a flat roof creates a mechitza at its edges. And therefore, over here, even though it's supported by the edge, nonetheless, the mechitzot come down at the edge. Others learn that the usability over here is the equivalent of an amud, and therefore we view it as a sealed amud in Rishut Rabbi. A sealed amud in Rishut Rabbi, we already said, is Rishut Yachid. So what you did over here is you created a Rishut Yachid with the very chafetz that you threw in to create the Rishut Yachid. That's a fascinating thing. In other words, I took Rabbi Yochanan's first piece and his second piece, put them together to create a mirror image in which the throwing in is the creation of, as opposed to the bittul of. So there, Taina's Rava, I would like to know, Mahu, what's he asking that's really different from Rabbi Yochanan? From Michael Mibar, is he asking hanachat chefetz vasiyat mechitza, when you have something landing and creating a mechitza simultaneously? Is that what he wants to know? But that's the equivalent of Rabbi Yochanan's question. I know the Rabbi Yochanan, but you need to define the mechitza separately first. So, I mean, it's clever, but it doesn't really add anything. No. There was another little shtick over here that you didn't know about. What Rava wanted to know was, how about if, this is really cute, how about if on top of the board you also had your flower pot? So now the board lands together with the flower pot. Now the thing is, the board lands, the flower pot pops up for a second, of course, from the impact, and falls down. Now there you go. You create your Rishut HaYachid and manage to do a Hotzah, and this is a very effective way to be Mechal Shabbos, all in one. So even if, we'll assume now, this is what I want to know. Kikim Abay Lorav Gim Dizarak Dach V'chevetz Agabav Mai. Do we say that this would boil down to the same issue? Because since it was all happening at one time, and then this is what we're questioning, whether there was a mechitza there, and that remains with the open. But I'm adding an additional little piece over here, because, oh, Dilma, Kivan Deloyev Shah Delo Midal Yapurta Vada Nayev Kasyat Mechitza Vanachat Chefetz Dami. Since we can, in examining the physics of what's happening, we can note that there will be an effect of popping up and landing for a moment on the flower pot. So now I may be able to split the act into two parts. In this case, the creation of the mechitzot came an instant before. So I mean, what I'd like to know is it the act that we're referring to, or is it just the theoretical existence of the mechitzot for an instant before the actual hotzah is completed? Is that what we're asking? So he's adding now, even assuming that, according to the answer to Rabbi Yochanan Zabai is that you do not have a chiyuv on the daf, because you need to first have mechitzot before you'll be chayav. But even though in this case you did everything together, and even though normally we would say, well, it's above wood, but the point is that in terms of the actual munach, it takes place a half a second later. So maybe I could split that act into two separate things.
Was it thrown a second? Yeah. Second
no, it wasn't thrown. It was thrown together. But I know when it lands, the dock is going to land. It's sticking the flower pot. It'll take a minute to settle down.
Is that a Tofo issue?
No, here we're interested only in the question of whether I could separate it into two parts. Now my hands go up. Sorry, what were you saying?
Same thing. His power that he's got the second part back down. That was, of course, the.
Yeah, that's true. But nonetheless, the act has now become separated simply because of the physics of the thing. What was your concern? Was your concern that when I throw it, it needs to be the reshus, or does it mean that I have to be able to separate the Asiyat Mechitzot before the Hanoch. So the Rabbi Yochanan actually never got that across.
Maybe it was a gooey thing which was stuck to
it. If it was a gooey thing, I wouldn't have. Because then it would have been the same as Rabbi Yochanan. I'm specifically asking where it's not a gooey thing. Take them. On my rub.
On the
whole suya, just on the rub. On the whole suya. On my rub. I'll tell you, this of course is, we'll remember, we've already had every last one of the following abayas in the first parak. But on my rub. Pshitali. It's clear to me that if you have water, and this water is on top of other water, which water generally tends to do, and now you take a little bit of that water out. So you have a pit filled with water. Right? Take out some of the water on the top. You put it down at the end of a hotel. That's called hanofen. Kids, what do you mean? It's not on the ground. I left it on a bunch of water. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not steady. That's called putting down water. I know enough for time.
You poured it in?
Yeah, I did a hutzah. I put it down. I picked it up out of something. But I wasn't picking off the ground. I was picking off of other water. So it was never munaf. No, that's called munaf because that is the derech havanacha of water. There's no way to solidify it. If I have a nut, all kinds of nuts, and I put that nut on top of the water, now that's definitely not considered to be hanof, because it's still not at rest. So being in a liquid state, essentially, relative to the ground, it's not considered to be hanof. My question is, hanof, is it defined relative to the ground, or is it defined relative to where it is? So if you have, let's say, an egg goes that lands in a plate that's floating on the water. Now the plate is not munach, but the egg goes relative to the plate is munach. The question over here is, are we looking for an absolute space for hanach, or are we looking for relative space for hanach? That's my question. This was a question that we had earlier. So boy, rather egos bekli. The klitzah pagabi miyaminu batar egos aslina. Do we say that hanacha is a relative state? Because all we're looking for is how does the egos feel about life at this point? And as far as it's concerned, a kli is a fine world for an egos to be in, as long as nobody's mouth is around. Vahanayach? Odilam basar kli aslina. Do we say, okay, but the egos is on a kli? I mean, now the kli itself is not nayach. Well, go nayach. Take. Don't know about that either.
Does that mean the space station not a Rishis Yafi?
The space station.
Yeah. It's floating in space.
The space station is definitely relative to itself. We'll see, we're coming up to boats in water, which is the equivalent of space stations in space. You know, I mean, you're on one too.
It is very big.
Now, liquids on other liquids. How about that? You put some oil on top of wine. What would be the din there? Right? Because you have different vicosities, and therefore they're kept separate. The truth is that that's no different than an egos agave mayim, except for one possibility, which is that because of the nature of liquid, it may be possible to view it all as one entity. And therefore it's all essentially munaf on the ground as if it were one thing. That's dependent actually on an interesting halacha. I'm sure you remember all of this from before, which is, do I view it as one entity in terms of the dinim of tumah? If it's one entity in terms of the dinim of tumah, then it's one entity in terms of the dinim of hanacha. Or is it two separate entities, in which case it's ful yom, who cannot be matami, he can only pasa, which means that he can only make one step of psul, but that psul won't pasa anything else through tuma, which is the definition word pasal. Tuma affects it to pasal it, but I can't call it tome because I can't detect the tuma in it, since it'll never come out of it. So it isn't tome, it won't be matami anything else. What tuma detector could detect the tuma that doesn't emit tuma? It's trying to get radiation from a black hole. Well, now you never know. So in this case, we have a machlokes of Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rambam. That's not. Shem and shitzav agav yayin v'nagat v'yom b'shem, and if you have oil floating on wine, et v'yom touches the oil, lo pasal ala shemen. So here the Rabbanan taina, only the upper oil becomes pasal, and since that oil can't emit to him, it can't pasal the yayin underneath it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer shneim chibur zelazeh. We view the liquid as a single entity. Since both of them are royal kabel psul from the tvuyon, the whole thing is one entity. In which case, when it comes to the hanacha, zoi hanachata. Omer Abayi, I got an interesting point here. Let's say you have a board which is Rabbi, 10 tvachim deep, 8 tvachim wide. You now throw into this bor, which is a ditch, you throw in a rolled up mat. What would be the ditch? It'd be fire. But how about this? Hang the mat in the middle. Then you'll be potter. Why? Because you now don't have any machitzas. Because since this mat has some thickness and it's running down the middle, it turns out that neither, if you put it right in the middle, neither area has 4 tvachim. And since it doesn't have 4 tvachim, you don't have 10 tvachim of mechitzas. Because you can't have a mechitza unless you have a mechitza that surrounds and a space which is called a makom chashuv, that is considered to be a space. If it's not considered to be a space, unless it's 4 tvachim, then the mechitza doesn't exist. Now,
measure to make it in the precise absolute center.
Yes, indeed. Or it could be an imprecisely fit machasela. One way or the other. Okay. Again, we're talking just about the theoretical considerations here. Now, and we see how this has to do, of course, with Rabbi Yochanan's question about Chulia, because this boils down really to us, yes, Chulia. And being mabato the machitza to now having the bar insufficiently deep. Here we have a mechitza that makes the bor insufficiently wide, but it's really the same thing, except that it adds another piece that Rabbi Yochanan didn't think about, or maybe he did, and rejected, which is why he didn't mention it, which is the difference between a chulia and a machatzela. I mean, a chulia becomes part of the bor. Machatzela, like I said, look, I mean, you can roll it up, it's removable. Maybe a machatzela tichlal wouldn't be mevatel the space, which would see just something inside. So this the Gemara wants to talk out now. There's a look. I mean, Abaye, who the pshitele, the mechatzelet mevatel machitza. It seems to be clear to Abaye that even a mechatzelet can change the width and therefore cause a bittel of the mechitzot to the bar. So kol sheken chulia the mevatel machitza. Obviously, where I throw chulia into the bar, for sure it's going to be mevatel the bar. But Rabbi Yochanan, who wasn't even clear about the chulia, clearly he wanted to have the question of chulia specifically, because a machatzelet apparently was to him not even a consideration. Pshita de lo mevatel mechitzata, because a chulia is permanent, and there it's bottle indeed to the bottom of the bar. Mashenken, a machatzelet would not be considered to be a bitul mechitza, even to raise his issue about whether bitul mechitza, siluk mechitza v'hanachat chefetz, v'vatachat, this is not called a siluk mechitza. V'yomer Abaye got another point, says Abaye. If you have a born rishut harabim that is 10 tvachim deep, and it's 4 tvachim wide, and you fill it up with water, do not think for a moment that the water removes the dinim of the mechitza. There, you definitely would be chayev, even though it's filled with water. Obviously, whatever you threw in landed on the bottom. Melaya peirot, on the other hand, if it's filled with something solid, the zarak v'tocha, then it would be potter. My time. Mayim lo mevatlei mechitzata, peirot mevatlei mechitzata. Now here, we run into a problem, because the Tosis points out, what's the difference, peirot, than a gui d'veila?
In other words, you told me before, the reason that the Dvela is not going to be Mavatel, the distance, but it's the same idea, whether it's the distance or the depth, is because it's something that you're not going to be Mavatel. You know, what are we assuming, that we're talking about perot that are put here permanently to rot? Some say, by the way, yes, but Rav Gaon says it's talking about the Mavatel. Okay, that's the easy way out. I mean, Pashas certainly don't put something there permanently. That should be like a chulia. So Tosfos says we have no choice but to say that there are degrees of bitul. In other words, a single devela is not as much something that becomes a limitation of the rishus as filling up something with perot that are meant to be there, have been stored there, and actually cover the whole area. So over there we can understand that that's more similar to a chulia.
Permanent,
right? Yeah. Maybe you don't need permanence. So there's two issues to take into consideration. The covering, the Dvela doesn't completely cover, and therefore it's obvious that it's on something else. And the permanence. I intend for these perot to be here. I'm using it for the purpose of keeping the perot here. Okay, others find that this definition is very vague. It doesn't give us a clear-cut values as to what is considered to be a bitul or not. And because of that, they say it's got to be talking about a case where there's a true bitul of the perot. So, perot or mevat mechitza. Tani nami hachi. Hazorek min hayam leisratia, min hasratia liyam patur. Normally, the yam itself is viewed as a carmelite. It's viewed as a carmelite not because the water in it prevents us from viewing mechitzot. It's viewed as a carmelite because we consider it to be a place of non-mechitzot. They are so spread out. Would be like saying every continent is Rishut HaYachid because it has mechitzot in the continental shelf. That is, unless you use the mechitzot locally, we don't see that as mechitzot. But if you would have in the yam, so normally it's a karm, therefore you'd be potter, turn from the yam into the actual Rishut HaYachid. But suppose you have a local mechitzah in the yam. So in other words, suppose you're over a particular place in which there is a ditch right underneath you. Inside the yam. Now you're above that ditch, you're floating in the water. Continues now Rabbi Shimon to say, Im yesham b'makom shezarah, omek asara v'rochav arba'a chayav. Don't think that just because there's water over the top, that it would not be considered to be removal from Rishut HaYachid. If you took the water out of a place which was itself separately defined as a mechitza, then in Okinami you would be chayav. From Rabbi Shimon, we're bringing a riot to a biased concept. The water per se over the mechitza is not mevatel the mechitza.
So Rabbi Shimon is saying if you take the water from in that place, which you find as a root,
correct.
Not that every place over that place becomes a
mechitza. Well, that's a question. Rishut HaYachid is ola adarakia.
The
question is it considered to be munach there? Can you say hainu hanachato where it's not in a container? Liquids have a tendency to require space around them to be sealed.
So what if the water on the top would be a tikra?
It wouldn't be a tikra, but the question is anything else munach? If it itself is algabe mayim, which is floating, it continues from one area to another. But I mean,
it's not like a situation where it's always covered, then more? It's in the water, it's in the
sphere. It's not covered. It's not covered at all.
By other water?
It's just a hole, which happens sometimes. You have like a sudden drop.
But you can see it. See, it's more filled with water.
No, you can't see it. You have a little radar unit, a sonar unit that tells you that it's there.
Not the other water.
Just when you step into it, then
you... Well, you can, yeah. You can definitely feel it. Maybe the last thing you ever feel. This becomes Rishut HaYachid. Yeah, it's not like the rest of the area around it.
So where does the sea start? Where was it? According to this, couldn't that reach 10 tefachim in the water that's not called?
No, the area, the yam itself creates a rishus, which is a non-rishus. It's not really a karmelit, it's a non-remember. Karmelit is a rabbonan concept. A non-rishus is the only concept that we have in the Torah. But you can have a non-rishus, which sometimes remains a non-rishus, which we call a makom patur, or it can have certain chumras, the rabbonan, which we call a karmelit, in which we give it certain dinim, in which it's similar to a rishus. The yam is actually midiraisa, is a no place, because of the word. Remember that when it comes to rishut rabim, usage becomes definitive of the space rather than mephitsis. So that means it's not the existence of mephitsis is one way to define a particular space. In a non-particular space, usage becomes definitive. Forget who rishut rabim, and not a rabim. The more it's undefined, the more likely it is to be rishut rabim. As we start defining it, if it has two mephitsis, then certainly if it has three mephitsis, it may not be Rishut HaRabim anymore, even though it's big and lots of people are using it. When it comes to the karmelit of the yam, the very fact that by definition there's no mephitsot there, which is not true in this particular case, why are there no mephitsot? Because we view the entire area as not being defined by mechitzot at any point where I could see them and sense that I'm in the middle of Arba mechitzot. So I don't consider that to be a defined space. So the moment the usage area is yam, it becomes now a no space.
Why do you need the Bor of Ten?
Because the Bor of Ten violates the yam. The Bor of Ten creates a local space, which is usually not true in the yam. I don't have local spaces in the yam, generally speaking.
Similar to what we're doing with the Rabbi with yam.
Similar to Rishut HaRabim. Yeah.
Exactly. And then so where does the yam start? Literally the water?
Yeah, that's what our president was asking. In other words, it's the shimush that turns it basically to a karmelit. It can no longer be Rishut HaRabim. At that point, it's not separately defined, but it can't be Rishut HaRabim because people don't walk through the... unless they're real believers, they don't walk through the ocean, and therefore it's not a makom b'kiyat rabim. We say makom, is that a makom b'kiyat rabim? Is that a b'kiyat rabim? Okay, so what is it? Well, it doesn't have its own ten mechitzot, own ten tvachim mechitzot. So at that point, it becomes a karmelit, and midyaraita, it becomes an unspace.
What about a
shipping
lane? A
what?
A very busy shipping lane, like coming out of New York Harbor or something like that. It's just constantly traffic.
Yeah, but over there, each boat is a separate Rishut HaYachid.
It's like a highway, no?
Ein Hachinami. That's what's relied on La'alokha to make the era, is that every car is a separate Rishut HaYachid, becomes the equivalent of boats in the water, which I consider to be the Kesron. Exactly, that's exactly the truth. Because otherwise you would have in our cities Rishut HaRabim, that are used by Sheish Meot Elef, which would be easily supply all of the requirements for Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita. Once you have Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita, you can't put up an Erev that's made out of strings. That's all a Rabbanan fiction, essentially.
What if there's 600,000 cars? That doesn't...
Cars? Yeah. I suppose if they're Android cars, you might have a problem. Hazorek arba amot bakota. We finally got to it. We certainly talked about it enough. Hazorek arba amot bakota. Lamala miyasrat vachim. Kizorek baavir. Lamata miyasrat vachim. Kizorek baaretz. And always hazorek baaretz. As long as it's arba amot, it would be chayev, even though it didn't land on anything that is defined differently than any other part. Over here, in Rishut HaRabim, the space, the distance itself, defines the separate space, which is a brand new concept. Yeah? Usually you needed either mechitzot or shimush to define the nature of a specific space. Asks the Gemara, as well we know, v'holonach, how can you say that it was chayev if it never landed, since it's hanging, stuck here on this wall? Rabbi Yochanan, because it's hanging as a Dvela Shemena. And the Dvela Shemena is basically implanted on that wall. You'd have an interesting case where it wasn't sticky, but instead landed right in a little indentation in the wall. So if you were Zorek Lamala Miyasara, Valchav and Nacha, Bechor Kolshu, and again we had this whole sugya before, Banu Lamachloket Rabbi Meir Varabanan. No, Rabbi Meir, the Amal Chokikin Lashlim Mechayev, Rabbanan, the Amarin Chokikin Lashlim Lo Mechayev. Because we have a famous halakha, which is when a space is delineated along one dimension, and on another side it is delineated in another two dimensions, whether we draw out that space. So in other words, if I have, let us say, a situation like right over there in the doorway, where the top bends in, I suppose that that was 10 tefachim from the top to the bottom, only 10 tefachim, which is just enough to be considered a doorway, legabe, the chiyuv of the mezuzah. And then I start measuring it, and I say, wait a minute. As I get up to that top part, I don't have 4 tefachim, it comes up to nothing. So I only have 4 tefachim on the bottom, but I don't have 4 tefachim by 10 tefachim, so I shouldn't have to put a mezuzah on there. According to Rabbi Meir, because the space is defined in three dimensions, 10 tefachim high, in this case we don't need 3 dimensions, 2 dimensions, 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. I said, but it isn't 10 by 4. Oh yes it is. Because halachically that defines, that's called chokikim. You, for all intents and purposes, saw away the edge and make it 10 by 4 all along. So the same thing would be true over here where it's nacha b'chor kolshu. Tosfos says, of course, it's got to be talking about that there is one dimension that is well defined. So in other words, it can't just be there's a little indentation, this thing, false indentation, behind it is solid wall, and we'll say, since there's solid wall behind it, why don't we just eat away at the solid, why would we eat away at the solid wall? Nobody ever suggested Chokin Lahashman is to eat away without any reason to eat away. But assuming that this little hole actually goes all the way through the wall, and right in the point where it fell into the hole, it was wide enough to be considered a Mokam Arba. So then we would say Chokin Lahashman. And now it's inside of a Mokam Choshev, which is indeed an Amud Bereshit Rabbim. So then it would be Chayim. Was according to the Rabbanim, who say we don't saw away theoretically in order to be Mashlim, a space that's defined on one end. Lo Mechayim. Chani Nami. Ach, indeed, there's a brighter that says this clearly. Zorak Lemala Me'asara. Ve'alcha Ve'nacha Be'chor Korshuhu. Rabbi Meir Ve'chayev Ve'chachamim Potri. Omri Yudam Arav, another fascinating idea. This basically, to some extent, discusses the issue that our president raised a moment ago, where does the Yam begin? Because we often have a mechitza, so to speak, that doesn't extend straight up and down. No, it's how spread out can a mechitza be? This is very, very relevant for New York parking spaces. And as you know, when you go into a underground parking space, you basically go over an empty hole and your car falls straight down. So they don't have room to give you any kind of real driveway in New York. You know, so you're taking your life in your hands, you put on your seatbelt and you zoom down that thing. Is that considered to be a mechitza? Or is it gradual enough to still be, there's no clear-cut area which is 10 fucking high? So, okay, so that depends actually the height per length distance. What is the angle of the shipua? Exactly. So I can give you the amount of height per unit that this will change in, and then you'll be able to apply that and decide whether it's a mechitza. This, by the way, comes up really all the time. In cities, especially where they do use the continental shelf as one of the mechitzas for Nehru, like in Toronto, where you have a drop-off that's enough to be used for an Eruv. This becomes very, very central. Or if you're camping or something, and you're on a hill, you know, you want to know, can you carry within the entire area without making a mechitza? This comes up all the time. It's extremely practical. The shear is that if you've got a tell That's mitlaket asara mitoch arba. If within a space, which is the horizontal measurement of four amos, you end up with a differentiation in height of your asarat vachim, you have a mechitza. Right? In other words, if within a space of four amos you start, and now it starts, the rise begins. If the rise achieves a 10 tefachim rise before it completes four amos horizontally, that's a kosher mechitza. You don't need to worry about anything else. And you'd be surprised how easy it is to achieve that type of situation out in the wild.
It's not like a slope.
It's a light slope. So in that case,
a
sort of like an arm and a half. A sort of is an arm and a half. Approximately, that's something more. That's a six trucking parameter. So in such a case, if you would be the opposite, if you would be Zorak, Menach al-Gabav, if you throw from the beginning of the rise to the top of the rise, you essentially ended up throwing from Rishut Rabim to Rishut Yachid. And it would be Chayim.
You're dealing with a different bank. It's Asar, Zot Arba. What
does it mean? Asara is Lashon Zachar, and therefore is a reference to Tefach. Arba is Lashon Nekeva, and therefore a reference to Ama. So we can do it in Hebrew more efficiently than we can do it in English.
So the Mizbeach would be...
The Mizbeach? I mean the Kevesh.
Yeah.
Tanya Namihar. Mavui sheshaveh letochon has other applications, the Gabi Din of Mivot. Normally, if you've got an alleyway that's closed on one end, opens up in the Rishut Rabin, you need to put at the top front of the alley in order to be able to carry the different from the different homes inside of it, you have to put up either a lechi along the edge to show that this is separate from the Rishut Rabin, or a korah across the top. But if you have a driveway which drops into the street level, or rises into the street level from inside the mavui, you don't need anything else. So you've got a mavui shaveh letocho. It may be the inside of the mavui has maybe a long, flat alleyway, but it has a driveway, nasa midron l'rishut rabim. Or for that matter, it's shaveh l'rishut rabim v'nasa midron letocho. I mean, I don't care which direction it's going, up the driveway, down the driveway. But the important thing is that driveway makes the mavui into a clearly delineated separate rishus, and because of that, enotzarit lo lechi v'lo korah. It doesn't need any type of indication. What is that shir? By the same token, tel hamit laket asara mitoch arba v'zorak v'nach al gabav chayav, which essentially supports what it was that we suggested earlier.
In less than 4 tefachim.
For amos.
I'm sorry, 4 amos. Yeah, less than 4.
Yeah, very easy to achieve. This is an extremely convenient halacha, which we recently used at Richie's to great profit.
You mean the continental shelf, or what does it mean?
Your question. Where does the continent drops off? There's a drop at the edge of the yam. I can use that as a mechitza if I'm near to it.
Further into the water.
Yeah. There's a point at which you have a drop off that is sufficient to create this. Zark l'toch arba amot. V'nit galgel chutz l'arba amot. I remember the guy is attempting to throw something, and it never lands. He's trying to throw into a wind. His paper airplane never made it. A great tragedy. And it ended up, or the first case rather, it ended up that his airplane was dragged away from where he wanted it to land and landed outside of Arbam. Now, over there, obviously, would be Potter, because he never had an intent to fly his airplane on Shabbos. Masha'inke, chutz la'arba amot. If he tried to have it land far away, and outside of his 4 amos, and it never landed. Instead, the wind blew it back, and it landed within the 4 amos. It would be chayiv, which is strange, because the Gemara asks, "V'halonach." Understand? What's the point of his intent to land his paper airplane and never land it? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, well, obviously, it needed to touch something at least for a moment. The Braita explains it actually. Somebody is throwing his paper airplane, the wind grabs it, and pushed it back in. Even if then it grabbed it and pulled it out again, that's no longer his kohach at all. It would be potter. But if achazato haruach mashu, if it ended up suspended for a moment by the ruach, birds love to do that on the seaside. You know, that's really a favorite game of birds. They just stand there suspended.
I can see a paper.
Sure. What do you mean? Just needs to be there for a moment. Then apa pishachazav nisato chayav. Now the truth is, gentlemen, based on what we learned before in the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, in which we were claiming that betoch shalosh, everybody was moda that mahalik, not mahalik, but klutak mishuncha. Remember we're saying ni miat shalosh kuleyam amayda that you would be chayav. Mi shalosh vad eser, that's the Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan. Mi agave eser, of course, that was our machlok is over there, whether we were saying Yalfin and Zorek Mimoshik, or whether it's no longer Nogea to say Kluta Kamisha Unkar, because it's no longer Kluta. I mean, the Gemara should have immediately said, well, what do you mean? It's talking about it was within 3 tefach from the ground. Your airplane was coming in for a landing, and then it blew away. But since it was within 3 tefach from the ground, you claimed before that that's not a problem. That's the simplest thing to say. It's clear that we're assuming, and Tosis points this out, we're assuming in our sugya that we don't agree with that shita, because, and as a matter of fact, Rava is about to say, and Tosis says, we were anticipating Rava, which is why it was bothering us. As Rava says, Tosh shalosh l'rabbanan, shlosha l'rabbanan, within 3 tefachim, according to the Rabbanan, who hold that you don't say klutik mishahuncha, definitely tzorich hanachal gabi mashu. It's not the fact that you're within 3 tefachim that also means you're at rest. There's two different issues here. The one is a question of where are you, and the other question is, are you at rest? And why would we say you're at rest just because it's lovud? We're going to, what, pretend that it's solid ground that your airplane is flying through? It's still flying. So this is clearly cholek on the Man Yomer earlier, who says nobody would argue it's betoch shalosh, it's considered essentially to be at rest. That's equivalent to the same type of idea that we had, according to Rebbe, of the ball that was going through the guy's living room. That since we view it as sealed halakhically, for all intents and purposes, it's also at rest. Who would normally have said so? That's what that Man Yomer holds. Rather said the two issues are completely separate. It's not at rest. So it needed at least to be something that had stopped its movement, at least for a moment. Yosef Marema v'komel ala shmaitza. So Marema was saying this over, and Ravina said to Marema, I thought, I mean, we know that already, don't we? Lav hainu matnitin. I mean, the Mishnah said that if you throw your paper airplane outside of our bomb boat, and even though it lands back within our ba'amot, that you'd be chayim. And Rabbi Yochanan said, that's only if it was nacha gabe mashu. So this is why this has been defined generations ago. I mean, that's what you're saying. You're saying, I mean, because we're assuming that it was about to land, and yet the only answer as to why it was considered to have landed is because it actually touched something for a moment. Apparently, coming in within 3 tefachim of the ground was not sufficient, which is what you're saying. Omar Leh said, Rabbi, no, it's not what I'm saying. I'm saying something beyond that, because you're talking about a case where it's mitgalgel. This airplane is currently in the hands of the wind. In other words, it's a rolling airplane, so to speak. Something which is mitgalgel ain't so full of nuach. I don't view it as about to land. Masha'inkin, where you have something
which is only being controlled by gravity, meaning I threw a heavy ball and it is now on a trajectory coming in for a landing. Before it lands, I suddenly realize, oh my God, it's Shabbos. I shouldn't have done that. You're not normally chayav achatas if you remember in the middle of the event that you shouldn't have done what you did because it's no longer on the show game. Now my question is, I need to define, was it the middle or was it completed because it's already within shalosh? I'm telling you, even in that case where you would think, okay, but over here, for all intents and purposes, we might as well move, view it as landed. Because you're just discussing the question of klunta kamishuncha. Klunta kamishuncha is when it's flying through, across. I'm talking about it's coming in for a predefined landing that nobody's going to be able to do anything about. Okay, so maybe you would say that since shalosh is considered to be lavud, lavud means it's not on the ground, it's attached to the ground. That's my chiddush. That's taking Rabbi Yochanan definitely a step further, and therefore it was not included in Rabbi Yochanan's mind. Hazorek b'yam arba amot patur. Since we've already explained that the yam is considered to be a no place for the rabbanim machmir to make it a carmelite, you would be patur in throwing arba amot, but only patur because it's not a makom patur, and therefore the rabbanim machmir treat it like rishut rabbim lachora. Im haya. Now, on the other hand, don't think that that means that a puddle is nothing but a miniature yam. In other words, if I have in the middle of my Rishut HaRabim a puddle, I say, okay, the same way that our president was kind enough to point out that the yam essentially is a big puddle, because at what point is it stopping the Rishut HaRabim? So you'd say, a little puddle is exactly the same thing. You have a puddle in Rishut HaRabim, that puddle is not part of Rishut HaRabim. There, it's not so simple. Because if you have a rikakmai, you have a puddle of water, and the Rishut HaRabim nonetheless extends ma'alechet bo, it is used for travel through the puddle. Ma'alechet bo. In that case, azorek etocho arba amot chayav. Because since, in real terms, it's continuing to be used by people in their wagons and so on, it does not lose its shem Rishut HaRabim because it's shimush. Is continued to be part of the Shimush of Rishut HaRabim. The Kama Hurakak Mayim, when I say a puddle, I mean, what do I mean by a puddle? Well, it has to be less than Asarat Tvachim. Once it's Asarat Tvachim, then already, I mean, you need to put on your scuba diving gear, whatever, that, and it's not considered to be your Rishut HaRabim. Rakak Mayim, Rishut, you'll remember the strange Mishnah because we analyzed it in detail again earlier in the Masechta, in the first parak. The Mishnah repeats itself word for word, and we need it to be medayek, the repetition. We did that in the first parak. We're going to do it again. The stop is entirely repeated. So rikak mayim rishut rabim alechet bo hazorek betocho arba amot chayav. Same words. Weird. So one of the Rabbanan of the Beit HaMidrash. No, he could be standing in the yam and he's throwing out four amas.
In the yam.
Yeah. No, we're talking about Ma'av here. We're going to discuss the din of Machtis and Motzi, but we already discussed partially the din of the Litocho. Litocho over here, it's Arba Amos. I'm looking at this Mishnah and trying to understand it. Now, I understand the meaning of the repetition of the word Mahalechet Bo. That makes sense. Trezimne. One comes to tell me Mahalechet Bo Hiluch HaYadei Atchak Shmei Hiluch. That even though it may not be convenient to walk through the water, nonetheless, that's considered to be a Rishut HaRabim. And the repetition comes to teach me, note I say mehalechet, and boy do I mean mehalechet. If it would be tashmisha yidei atchak, you say I can still use it. They're flying away.
Mehalechet.
Tashmisha yidei atchak. Masha'inkin, remember we had this question before, if I've got something, and it's a pit in Rishut HaRabim, and it's a place where I could store things, you know, so people could bend and put down their knapsack or something.
But it's very inconvenient that to schlep down, pull it out, and so on. It's 9-12. Obviously, the question of whether depth is the same as the convenience of an amud. So it's coming to tell me, Tashmish? No. Tashmish has to be convenient. Hiluch is the etzem definition of a Rishut HaRabim. It's a place for walking through. So the fact that you'll say, well, but I mean, even though it looks like a Carmelite, people use it, and therefore, when they're walking through Rishut HaRabim, therefore it should be part of the Rishut HaRabim. No. Usage that is inconvenient doesn't make it part of the Rishut HaRabim. Usage that's convenient, that was the issue of Tzidei Rishut HaRabim, where people put things down. There we had the discussion of whether that's bottled to Rishut HaRabim. But I do not understand what the point was of saying twice the word Rekak Mayim. I mean, you could have just repeated, you wanted to tell me, Rishut HaRabim Ma'alechet Bo'azorek Batok, and we'd understand we're going on the same case. Why repeat the word Rekak Mayim? Crazy, normally. You know what? I think it's telling me this. Chad b'yamot ha'chama, v'chad b'yamot ha'gishamim. It's to tell me that whether this puddle is going to be there in the middle of the rainy season or in the middle of the hot season, either way, it's considered to be batel to Rishut HaRabim. But that's by no means obvious. Because, look, I mean, if you're telling me, it's under chada, let's say I would have only said one. I could have said to myself, okay, you know, maybe that's dafka during the season in which it's so hot that people are grateful for a little brief dip on their way through the Rishut HaRabim. You know, at least I can get my toesies cooled off as I'm going by. So I mean, in the Masgilat Kurein Avshayo, people don't really mind getting a little wet because they cool off. But the Yomota Gishamim, who wants to walk through a puddle? So maybe over there would not be considered to be, it would be already so much Ayideat Chak, it would be already Bavat Rishut HaRabim. On the other hand, even you would tell me Beferush B'yamot HaGishamim, I could still think, okay, you know what? In Rishut, in B'yamot HaGishamim, everything is muddy and blechy. So, okay, I gave him the mitanfe, loich patu, what am I? I'm going to get wet. I mean, my shoes are so muddy anyway. You know, what's the difference? I'll B'yamot HaChamah, I'm going to get all dirty over here in a puddle. I won't go into a puddle. It's not worth getting dirty. Therefore, I need to have the double lotion to tell me none of these considerations change the bottom line. Abaya says, I have another explanation. I say it's true. Because it's only if the puddle appears to you to be something short that you could just walk through. Once it's arba amot, so then people think in terms of walking around. So they walk around, and therefore, they end up not really walking through the puddle, and that area becomes a Carmelite. Ravashi says, the contrary. I would think dafka if it's 4 amas long. But if it's less than that, I'll jump. So then, mipsit possibly, I'll give it my best attempt anyway, walking over it without stepping into it, which would mean that it's not a mokum of Hilah Harab. And this, in fact, is Ravashi's shita all along, that the fact that you might jump over a thing, it doesn't matter because many people don't. And they walk right over it. It's Ravashi la shita to the Om Ravashi. I'm man de zorek benocha gura de gamba b'chayim. Shahare rabim bokimbo. You throw, let's say, a piece of wood, and it lands on a bridge, which anyway is made out of pieces of wood like that, suspended on strings and something, you know, ropes. So in that case, you could think that, well, it's not really part of the Rishus HaRabim anymore because, you know, people will jump over it. So the Maitre was Mavata Rishus HaRabim because they're going to feel a little bit shaky because it's not connected the way the other boards are. No, there's plenty of people that are just poking, but they just walk over things. If you walk over things, then this becomes part of Rishut HaRabim, and therefore you were mavir arba amot Rishut HaRabim. I thought we were finishing. You want to continue? I don't mind continuing. I just feel I'm losing my dedicated audience.
Let's give it another
2 minutes, okay? We'll just at least work, okay. Hazorik min hayam liyabashal, min hayabashal liyam. Yeah, we finally get the clear cut. Let's have it, the statement. You're throwing from the dry land into the yam, or vice versa, or from the yam into a svina. And now the svina is definitely a rishut hayachid, or from a svina into the yam, or for that matter, from one svina into another svina. Patur? As a matter of fact, svinot shurot zubizu, if you've tied up another ship so that you are now connected to each other, you can even carry from one ship to the next. Mitzaltalin bizu lazu, which is useful for piratic attacks on Shabbos. Ime non-kshurot. However, if they're not really connected, so you have a pikiv shibik mukafot, they may be right up against each other. In mitzaltalin bizu lazu, we'll see why and what the issues are that we need to consider in the Gemara. Idma. Svina, that wants now to get water, or to drop things into the water, Ravuna marmotzine min aziz koshu umemale. What you can do is you can stick out, just for a hecker, as we'll see, even something that's not wide enough to create a reshus, even with piti grayorek visote. Stick something out over the edge, and you're allowed to take water off of the sea, which doesn't seem to make sense, because you're taking from a carmelite, into the boat. What are we attempting to do exactly with this ziz? What do we need the ziz for? Mamanushak. I mean, if it's okay, how does the ziz change it? If it's not okay, the ziz can't make it okay, can it? Rav Chista, Varaba Baravuna Amri, Ose Makom Arba. No. You'd have a Makom Arba, which then essentially creates virtual machitzas going down. You fill up underneath those virtual machitzas, and then you have basically a reshut hayachid that is defining the carmelite all the time. Yeah. This they based the new keyboards, virtual keyboards on this. You project. You have a little laser image of a keyboard. This is really great if you like to type in your PDA. You don't want to carry around one of those bulky keyboards or even a folding keyboard. It's a great little device, size of a pen, and you click it on, and it projects a keyboard, you see, by laser, and then it detects where your fingers are touching it. This is now on the market, $150 or so. It detects which OCOs your fingers are typing, and you got a keyboard wherever you want. So here you go. You've got a virtual reshut hayachid. All you got to do is project the machitzas down into the yam, and the carmelite turns into reshut hayachid. Take the water straight out of it. Brilliant! It's clear that they based this on the Gemara. Where they come up with
the laser cannons
and the pizza? Tikras, the equivalent of a laser. Now, what's the machlokas over here? The machlokas is like this: Ravuna Amar Motzi Min Aziz Koshu. He holds that kasava carmelite miara mashkinah. Where does the carmelite and the yam begin? The carmelite and the yam begins on the ocean bottom. Since that's true, and a carmelite can only extend 10 tefachim high, so the top of the yam is really just a mokum patur. And therefore, I have no problem in picking up from the surface to my boat. However, since I don't necessarily have Mark Twain wherever I go, so I put out a ziz kol shuku in order that it should be clear that I'm taking soundings. In other words, it should be obvious that somebody cares about knowing that we're really over a place where we don't have to be choshesh that I'm taking from a carmelite. And it's just a hecker to let people know that sounding is taken. So it's only a hecker. But then with the ziz nami lodav, I don't really need the ziz for anything. In order to establish every time you've got a boat that is going to be using the yam in this fashion, that you should know where you are, not to forget that you've got to worry about taking from a carmelite and reshut hayachid, we make this hekera to be a memory of the fact that you have to know what you're doing. Rav Chista, the Rabba Bar Baruna, on the other hand, who say, Ose makom arba al mamalit, they all know the point of the yam being a carmelite is because its usage is defined by carmelite. We don't even look at it as having mechitzas. We don't look at it as having a bottom. It's not as if it's a bar that you're bemale with water. It's, the point is, over here, it becomes a surface. And it's a type of surface which is karmelit use surface. Therefore, the karmelit is misfat maya mashkit. The whole point of it being a karmelit is that its surface is a karmelit. And therefore, we view this whole thing as the maya ka'aras mich. That's like, oh, one thick thing. If you wouldn't make a virtual reshut hayachid by having the arba board on top to project a mechitza around it, you would be metata from a karmelit to reshut hayachid, which would actually be asur. Okay. This extra couple of minutes made all the difference. Go, go, go. Okay, we're holding on to Tzedek Tesem and Beis here. Boy with Yofi. Bor Tisha. We are coming in a full Yavishli Malasra. Mahu. Akirat Chayef. It's Vasiat Mefitzabari Adarikati Umechayef. Olo Mechayef. The Im Timtzalomar. Even though having the chitza asra meikara lo mechayev, how about a bor asra v'natam v'tokar chuli on yata maho? Anachat chepetz v'silut v'chitza v'are adari ka'adu mechayev o lo mechayev. Tip shot lo him idide, tetzan azorek arba amot bekot ulamala me'asra tvachim, ki zorek v'avir, lamata me'asra ki zorek v'aretz, v'azorek v'aretz arba amot chayav, and avinan ba, what do you mean, halonak? It was Rabbi Yochanan himself who said, what about here, where he's being mamayit mi'arba amot? No. Hatam lo mevatele. I mean, obviously, dvela shmeina is not going to be there forever. Hatam mevatele. Boy, Rav, zorak da, v'nachak abe yeteidot ma'al. Mark me, boy, like what? Whether hanachat chepetz vasiat mefitza v'ari adad ekato, what the din is? Hainu to Rabbi Yochanan. No, kika mi boy, like, Rav, you're going to Zorak Dab Chepetz Agaba, my. Kiman de Bari Adadi Ka'atu, Kianachat Chepetz Vasiat Mechitz Adamu, Odim Kiman Lef Shalom Midla Purta Vodanaya, Kasiat Mechitz Avanachat Chepetz Tami, take. Oh, my brother, Pshita Li, Maim Agabi Maim, Haino Hanachatam. Egoz Agabi Maim, Lav Haino Hanachatam. Boy, brother, Egoz Bekli Beklitzaf Agabi Maim Ma. Mi Amrina Batar Egoz Eslina Banaya. Shemen agave yain, b'chok b'biyochem benuri v'rabona d'tznan. Shemen shetzaf agave yain v'nagat v'yom b'shemen, lo pasal ala shemen. B'biyochem benuri omer shneihem chibur lezeh lezeh, it's all one thing for tuma, and therefore for anocha. Om rabaya, bor b'rshut rabim amuka, sara u'chava shmona, v'zorak l'tocha machat salat, of course, chaya. However, take the same machat salat, and throw it in open, and chilkava machatzelet potter. So le'avaya the pshita le'de machatzelet mevatel machshu mechitza. Kol shekein mefuria is mevatel mechitza. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan demi boy le'chulia machatzelet obviously is pshita le'de lo mevatel mechitza. V'yom rabaya bor b'rishut rabbi mamuka asara urchava arba'a mle'a mayim. V'zorak b'toch ha'chayav, m'leyav peirot v'zorak b'toch ha'patur, my time, mayim lo mevatli mechitzata, peirot mevatli mechitzata, tanya me'achim, azorek min ha'yam l'israt, min ha'israt lo l'yam, patur, Rabbi Shimon omer, im yesh b'makom shezorak, amok asrav rachav arba'a, chayav, הזורק ארבעה עמות בכותל, למעלה מעשרת וחמישה מזורק באבידון, למטה מעשרת וחמישה מזורק באורק, הזורק באורץ ארבעה עמות, חי, הולו נח, אמרי ביוחנן רבי ושמינו שנינו. אמרי בירום רב, אמרי ביפי הזורק למעלה מעשרת ויוחנן נוחה בכל כושהו, בנו למחלוקת רבי מאיר ורבנן, לרבי מאיר דם לחוקים להשלים מחייב, ורבנן דאמרי אין חוקים להשלים לא מחייב, תניה מי אבי זורק למעלה מעשרת ויוחנן נוחה בכל כושהו, ומי מחייב וחכם מקוטרים. Omer Rebbeinu Murat Tel, HaMitlakit Asra Mitoch Arba'a, V'zorak V'nach Agabav Chayav, Tanya Na'am, Yachi, Mokho Yishashav L'Tokh V'Nasim Midon L'Shit Rabim, O Yishashav L'Shit Rabim V'Nasim Midon L'Tokho, O Tom Avoyen Utzurk V'Lechi V'Lo Kora, V'Bechanein V'Regam V'Yolein Ber, Tel HaMitlakit Asra Mitoch Arba'a, V'zorak V'nach Agabav Chayav, Zorak V'Tokh Arba'a, M'Tvizgal, V'Chutzli Arba'a, M'Spatur, Chutzli Arba'a, M'Zgal, V'Tokh Arba'a, M'Shayav, Polonach, Amrav Yochanan, Hushanach, Rabbi Masha, Tanya Miyachi, Zora, Kutzer, Ba'amod, Vodafua, Ruach, Mechnisato, Apo, Pishikazor, Ve'otziato, Patur, Achazato, Ruach, Mashu, Apo, Pishikazor, Ve'otziato, Chayav. Omar, Rabbe, Tom, Shalosh, Rabbanan, Tzorek, Solshar, Adel, Rabbanan, Tzorek, Anachal, Agabi, Mashu. Yati, Marim, Ebekom, Anala, Shnait, So, Omar, Rabbi, Lamein, Lav, Einu, Matnitin, Omar, Vyok, Rushan, Nach, Agabi, Mashu. אמר, no comparison, מה מתגלגל כאן? מתגלגל, אבל זה אין סוף על הנוח. מילא, אני צריך להיות הנוח. אבל how you would have thought that given a סוף על הנוח, אבל גם זה לא נוח כמעט בגנחת, מכמה שלנו, I'm telling you not to think that. הזורק בים ארבעה מאוד פטור. אם היה רקק מים, פשוט רק אם הלכת בו, הזורק לתוכו ארבעה מאוד חייב, וכמה הוא רקק מים, פחות מעשרה טפחים, וכך מה אם רשות הרבי מלכת בו, אז רק בתוכו 400 חייב. אומרים לרבן לרבן, בישלם את הרפטישן של הילוך, הילוך, תריזים נה. הקמש, when first of all, הילוך על ידי החג שמי הילוך, and the repetition tells us that תשמש על ידי החג, לאו שמי תשמיש. But רכך רכך תריזים נה, למה לי? חד בימות החמה וחד בימות הגשמים. וצריך, דיתון החוד האב מן האנמין ובימות החמה להבינים שתמאס כדי קורא נפשי. אבל בימות הגשמים לא. וישמינו במות הגשמים, אבל אפשר להגיד את המתנפי, לא אכפת לו, אבל במילות החמה לא. אביי אומר, איציק, סל, כתב לך מנהג מלכת לא אבי 400, אבל לך לאבי 400, עקופי מקפילי. רב אשי אומר, לקנטרי, איציק, סל, כתב לך מנהג מלכת לאבי 400, אבל לך לא אבי 400, we jump over it, and miss the pacify. ואז רב אשי לתרמד, יום רב אשי, מה זה זורק מנוח הגודל לגמרי לחייב, שערי רבים בוקעים בו. הזורק מן הים ליבשה ומן היבשה לים, ומן הים לספינה ומן הספינה לים, ומן הספינה לחברתה פטור. ספינות קשורות זו וזו יקרים, ומי מטלת מזו לזו כתחילה. ואם אינן קשורות, אף הפי שמוקפות, אין מטלת מזו לזו. אית מר ספין הרבונה אומר מוציא נמן הזיז קושו במעלה. רב חיסטה ורב הרבונה אומר, עושה מקום ארבעה. וממלא. רבונה אומר מוציא מן הזיז כושר במעלה כסף הקרמלית מיער המשכינה. ואוויר המקום טורו. ובדין הוא דזיז נמי לא דיבוי אלא כך רק להכירה. רב חיסטה ורב הרבונה אומר, עושה מקום ארבעה וממלא כסף הקרמלית משפת מיער המשכינה. מיער הסמיכתה. אני לא אוהב עם מקום ארבעה כמתתו מקרמלית לרשות היחיד.
Done.